information, please. Wake up, America. Time to stump the experts. And now, our master of ceremonies, Clifton Fadiman.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, our two regulars are on hand, John Kieran and Franklin C. Adams, whose column, This Little World, appears in the Tucson Star and other papers throughout the country. Our guests this evening are, first, our good friend, the distinguished critic and composer, Deems Taylor, and second, that eminent sage of the airwaves, currently appearing in the picture Two Sisters from Boston, and also currently celebrating his 30th year in show business, the irrepressible and well-beloved Jimmy Durante. I should explain to our unseen audience that Mr. Durante, who has difficulty in expressing himself, decided he'd have to have the help of a piano this evening, and so we placed him at a small piano, and Mr. Durante, you can do anything you wish with that piano. Keep it in a few, at least three or four pieces by the time the evening is over, and the joint is yours. You can do whatever you like this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Fadiman.
That's quite all right.
I'd like to say something before the program starts.
I do not doubt that. Why, of course.
I hope you have enough encyclopedias to give out. As my three colleagues here don't look so bright. Especially well, that Mr. Adam. He hasn't woke up yet.
He's no Lillian Russell either.
Be surprised. Mr. Durante, you'll have to help them out of all the holes this evening. That's what we have you here for.
That I will.
Very well. Now, gentlemen, I'm going to begin. Mr. Durante probably right. This is going to be a tough evening for the three of you. Because this first question is really a sticker. And it was submitted by none other than Mr. James Durante himself.
I didn't think it'd get out.
And it took him a long time to compose it. And here it goes. By the way, this is so tough that I'm going to ask you to get only one out of three parts instead of our customary two or three. The first part of this question that Mr. Durante thought up, practically all by himself, is who calls himself Jimmy the Well-Dressed Man? A blank look. I get no, practically no response. Mr. Kieran, courageous.
The Honorable James Durante.
The Honorable James Durante is right, Mr. Kieran. That saves you all. That's very fine. And now the second part of this question submitted by Mr. Durante, who is rather tense at the moment, is who sings Inka Dinka Doo? Mr. Taylor.
Jay Durante.
That's very good. Taylor, that's very good. And finally, Mr. Durante would like to know, insists on knowing, who is the male star of my latest picture, as he puts it, Two Sisters from Boston? I have Mr. Adams's hand.
There are a lot of people in that show.
You've just lost a friend.
And as I read the thing, James Durante also spoke.
That's the answer we want, Mr. Adams. Very good. Well, that really gives us three out of three and sends us on. I'm sorry you don't get that encyclopedia, Mr. Durante. It's a shame. Do you need one?
Well,
we'll send you the first volume.
The program is over.
All right. Try this one now from Miss Jenny Snoguski of East Paterson, New Jersey, and get two out of three. Can you identify the performers who are associated with each of these musical selections? They're going to be played. What performers do you associate with them? Mr. Kahn, let's have the first. I have Mr. Durante's hand. Yes, sir.
Nora Bays.
Ah, very good. Yes, that's quite right.
Is that it?
And anybody else?
Am I right?
You know, how did you pick Nora Bays out of the thousands of performers, Mr. Durante, that you might have mentioned?
Well, I heard her sing the song.
It's extraordinary. And, Ed, is there anybody else you associate with that song? Who wrote it? Mr. Adams.
Jack Norworth.
Jack Norworth. Yes, you'd associate both of them, Nora Bays.
Words right out of my mouth. And that's very unsanitary.
And a lot of fun it was.
That's all right, Mr. Durante. There's plenty of room left there. Mm-hmm. And now, Mr. Kahn, the second question.
It's getting tougher.
It is hard. This is the tough part of the evening. Can Mr. Kahn play this all evening? Does any performer or two performers, artists, come to your mind in connection with that selection? Mr. Taylor, have you heard it?
Well, the refrain sounds as if the words were "Pardon my glove," but I don't imagine that's
it. No, it's called Fiddle and Eye, I think.
Fiddle and Eye?
I think so, yes.
Well, Mr. Durante knows that.
Well, I don't think it was ever popular.
Well, apparently not with Taylor and Durante. Alma Gluck and Ephraim Zimbalist.
Never heard of them.
You were associated with that. Did play that together. Now, the third and last, Mr. Kahn, that gives us... I have no hand but Durante's hand.
Eddie Leonard.
Eddie Leonard, yes. Why don't the rest of you know that? Do we have to have this man on the program every Monday evening? That's very good, Mr. Durante.
I could play that on the piano myself.
Go ahead. No one stops you.
Ida, you're sweet as apple cider. Quack, 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 quack.
Say, that's beautiful.
I'll rest on my laurels.
Very talented man. Mr. Durante, why don't you see what you can do with this one? This is from Harriet R. George of Cleveland, Ohio. Let's get all on. This is a cinch. Let's get 3 out of 3. Can you touch your scapula with your patella? Come on, Durante, can you or can't you? Can you touch your scapula with your patella? Make up your mind.
I hope the program ain't getting off color.
I can't possibly imagine. I don't imagine.
Would you mind repeating that question, please?
I don't, if you don't mind not repeating your answer. Can you touch your scapula with your patella? Now, while you're worrying about that, Mr. Durante, Mr. Kieran will see what he can do with
it. Well, I'm a little confused about the patella. Of course, the scapula is the shoulder bone up there, but the patella is another...
part of the body, yes.
Part of the body.
And where, Mr.
It's right up in the same region.
Your kneecap.
Yes. Can you touch one with the other?
No, not more than once.
No, you couldn't very well do it. Now, Mr. Durante, that's perfectly clear to you that a patella is a kneecap and a scapula is a shoulder blade.
I still don't understand.
Well, that's an advance anyway. Now, how about this one? Can you touch... I'll try Mr. Durante on this first. Can you touch your sternum... That's no joke, son. Your sternum with your phalanges. Can you touch your sternum with your phalanges? Mr. Kieran?
Yes, you can.
What are those?
Very easily. Your sternum is that joint in the front where the ribs meet, right over the heart, and the phalanges are your fingers.
Yes, exactly right. Finger bones. The sternum is the breastbone.
Oh, sure, that's natural.
You can straighten up now, Mr. Durante, now that you've shown that you can do it. You can't look like a pretzel over there for a minute. And now, can you touch your rhinos with your hallux? Your rhinos with your hallux.
Mr. Kieran, stop kicking me. I don't know the answer either.
Come, gentlemen, a simple question. Your rhinos, can you touch it with your hallux? What is your rhinos? R-H-I-N-O-S.
Oh, it's the big toe.
The what?
Sounds like your nose.
Yeah. Sounds like what?
Nose.
Yes, it sounds like one's nose.
Not mine.
No. Now, assuming that it is Mr. Durante's nose, which is a large assumption, can you touch your rhinos with your hallux? We know that the rhinos...
I can touch his rhinos with my hallux.
What do you think your hallux is?
I don't care where it is.
Gentlemen, I think we better clean this question up quickly and go right on. The hallux is your big toe. And, of course, in the case of Mr. Durante, would not perhaps be too difficult.
I can touch his with my hallux.
With yes, your big toe.
And a lot of fun it would be, too.
Well, then I was right on half of the question.
You were.
I said my big toe.
Yes, you've just got the wrong word. The hallux is your big toe. Mm-hmm. Now, Mr. Durante, when television...
I still don't understand.
In the case of Mr. Durante, probably he could touch his big toe to his nose without too much trouble. I don't think we can give you gentlemen 3 out of 3 on that, but on the contrary, we'll send $100 to Mr. George and a set of the Britannica. See how easy it is to make a living if you send questions in this way, Mr. Durante. Try this one from Grace Adams.
I hope I get my bid off that poison.
Try this one from Miss Pierce of Rochester, New York. A poetical question, gentlemen. Get 2 out of 3. Can you recite a couple of lines of poetry that mention these parts of the body? Now, these parts of the body are very simple to understand. First, some lines of poetry that mention foot and cheek within the same line, as a matter of fact. Mention the words foot and cheek within the same line of poetry. Very well-known line of poetry. We learn it in elementary school.
I could do...
Most of us. Mr. Taylor?
I could do tongue and cheek, but I don't...
Well, I'll take that. Tongue is meat, too.
Well, tongue and cheek.
Mr. Durante.
I know one with... hands and cheek.
I'll take it. Go ahead.
See how she leans her cheek on her hand. Oh, that I was a glove on that hand, that I may touch her cheek.
Sure.
Now, whoever wrote that, for my money, that ain't English.
Well, it was in its original form. That's pretty good, Mr. Durant.
Why, that guy uses 4 dats in 2 lines.
That's exactly... What were you quoting from, Mr. Durant? Oh, come, you didn't make that up on the spur of the moment.
Romeo and Juliet.
Romeo, of course, Romeo and Juliet. That's very well quoted. Correct, Mr. Kieran?
On the whole? Practically.
Yes. See how she leans her cheek upon her hand. Oh, that I wore a glove upon that hand, that I might touch that cheek. That's approximately what you said, Mr. Granny.
Exact word.
Yes. Well, now that happens to be the second part of this question, by a curious coincidence. How about foot and cheek? Well, the answer to that is blessings on the barefoot little man. Were you going to say that, Mr. Kieran?
Too late.
Oh, I'm off. Barefoot boy with cheek of tan. Now, how about fingers and eyelids? If we get this one right, we get by with the question. Can you give us a line of poetry, or 2 lines, within which the words fingers and eyelids are both mentioned? Fingers in the first line and eyelids in the second.
Oh, what is it? Music that something lies like... No.
Violets on a something...
No, that's Tennyson's
Lotus
Eater.
Lotus Eater.
That's
right.
It's a poem that Mr. Kieran is frequently quoted and that Mr. Adams knows very well, too. Called The Song of the Shirt by Thomas Hood. Now do the lines come back to you? With fingers weary and worn, with eyelids heavy and red.
It ought to come back to me.
Well, this is a very short program. It takes a long time for it to come back to you, Mr. Durante. I guess we lose out on that one, too. That sends $100 to Miss Pierce and a set of the Britannica. Now, gentlemen, shall we go on with this one from E.L. Staples, Jr., of Skookum Chuck, British Columbia, Canada. In what play or movie, let's get all on this, in what play or movie would you find a character with each of these musical names? The first one is called Flute. Flute. Mr. Kieran.
You'll find Midsummer Night's Dream, one of the players in the play within the play.
Yes, exactly right, one of the comic characters. Okay, Mr. Durante?
That was a very good answer you gave.
Very good, okay. Now, where would you find a character whose name is Banjo? We've had one with Flute. How about Banjo? Mr. Adams.
The man who came to dinner.
The man who came to dinner. What character is it?
That is a character that is supposed to be one of the Marx brothers.
And I was a little surprised, though perhaps not, Mr. Durante. What were we going to say?
I played that part in a movie called The Man Who Came to Dinner.
Oh, it just came back to you.
Yeah, but he said something about the Marx brothers. Mr. Adams.
Well, he said it was modeled, supposed to be modeled on Harpo Marx, the character. Did you know whether that was true or not?
No.
Did you remember that you played the character Banjo? I just want to see if I can cork through the answer out of you, Mr.
Durant. I'm beginning to think I just came in here because it's air conditioned. You got me all confused.
You think you're confused. You don't know what you're doing to us. Yes, in the movie, the character of Banjo was brilliantly played by Mr. Durante, who just happened to forget the fact this evening. So. In what play would you find a character named Viola? This is the third of our musical instruments, Mr. Akira.
You'll find a girl named Viola playing the lead in Twelfth Night.
Yes, exactly right. Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. That gives us flute, banjo, and viola a very picturesque question. Try this one from Arthur Hoffman of Los Angeles. What sports are suggested by the following music that Mr. Kahn is going to play for us? What sport is suggested? Get two out of three. Mr. Kahn, the first. Dr. Durante.
Row, row, row.
Yes. And that suggests what sport? There's no catch in it.
Row.
That's right, yes. Just trying to build up your confidence, that's all. Sure.
I hope you don't have to give definitions, too.
No, I'm not asking you what it means. How about the second one, Mr. Kahn? Mr. Durante, if you know this, I'm going to give you that piano.
Trapeze artist.
Trapeze artist.
Acrobatics.
Why do you say that?
Because that's...
Something must be in your mind.
Now you got me stuck.
That's a good answer to some other question.
Well, no, I thought I played that years ago for acrobatic, while they were doing their acrobatics.
Well, it's possible that you did. It's perfectly possible.
Am I right, Smith Adams?
Well, I don't know. Mr. Adams?
Sounds like boating.
Why do you say that?
Well, because it does sound like boating. I don't know.
We got acrobatics and boating. No, it's from it's a selection from Weber's opera Der Freischütz. And Der Freischütz would be a Mr. Kieran?
Shooter.
Yes, a shooter, a marksman, or either shooting or hunting, I think, would be the proper answer.
So
I kind of like that acrobatics of yours, Mr. Durante. Let's have the third now and last.
Running.
Atta boy, that's correct. Why do you say that?
Durando, he run like anything.
That's all right. Very good.
I used to play that song for a fellow down at Coney Island
play
about 28 years ago.
Can you do it now?
I
You can just make up the words and music.
Wrote it.
Under the name of I. Berlin.
Long time ago.
Mr. Deans Taylor.
I'm sorry.
Don't you notice that Mr. Durante is talking?
Well, it's the only time I got a mention this evening.
Could you play?
Did Mr. Berlin write that?
Yes, he did, as Mr. Taylor reminded.
I think it might. He run like anything. Oh, there must have been two of them.
Well, it went approximately like
that. I can't remember the player.
Well, Durando was a marathon runner.
Yes.
And an Italian marathon runner, and all his compatriots in New York bet heavily on him, and he didn't win.
Did you know that, Mr. Durante?
Oh, I followed him pretty close. I just wanted to give Mr. Taylor a chance to talk.
Mr. Taylor is perfectly right. Well,
Thanks, gives us
two out of three on that one. And send us on to this two out of three question. From Beatrice Gladstone of New York City. What were the first names of these people? We generally think of them by their last names. They had first names. What were they? Machiavelli's first name was what? Machiavelli. First place, Mr. Kieran, who is
Machiavelli? I think his name was Niccolo.
Niccolo, yes. Who is Machiavelli?
Oh, he's the chap who wrote the Prince, that guiding book, the guidebook for dictators.
Yes, the first guidebook for tyrants. A recent novel by Somerset Maugham deals with an episode in the life of Machiavelli.
Well, he ran a restaurant on Lenox Avenue, I think.
And who, what was Cervantes' first name? Cervantes, Mr. Adams.
Miguel.
Miguel, yes, quite right. The author of Don Quixote. And now I'm going to ask this question, to which I do not myself know the answer. Mr. Umbriago. Mr. Umbriago. What is his first name? Mr. Durante.
Well, that's his full name.
That's his full name?
That's his full name.
Now, he has no other name than that?
No, just Umbriago.
Just Umbriago. And when he was born, he was just...
Umbriago,
that's all.
Left them to his own resources.
I see. Very good. Well, now that mystery is cleared up, and that sends us on to this one from Mrs. Emmy Beamer of Detroit. Two out of three again. Identify the character who hung by his hair. The character who hung by his hair. Mr. Kieran.
Absalom.
Absalom is right. In what episode?
In the Bible.
In the Bible,
he was
yes.
caught on a tree branch.
Yes.
As he went rode underneath it.
Yes, he was fleeing from defeat in battle. And what happened to him as a result of that?
I think he was stabbed.
He was killed by Joab while he was
That's
suspended.
Right.
You've got Mr. Durante kind of worried about this. How about a character who hung by her hands? A character who hung by her hands. Mr. Taylor?
Well, the girl who said the curfew shall not ring tonight?
Yes. She had a name.
Well, I'll leave that to Mr. Durant.
Please ignore me on that question.
I think her name, Deems, was Bessie. Bessie Umbriago. That's right. Yes, and what was the plot of that famous poem, Mr. Taylor? What
oh, her sweetheart was going to be done away with at curfew.
Yes, and she saved him.
So rather than have that happen, she climbed up and hung on to the clapper of the bell so that curfew didn't ring that particular
yes.
evening.
That's right. Cromwell.
Mr. Adams, wasn't that same situation used in an old play called The Heart of Maryland?
The Heart of Maryland, that's
same
right.
Same general
Blasco
idea? David Blasco, yes. And now, what character, this is really up your alley, Mr. Durante, what character hung by his nose?
I should know that.
You certainly should. Certainly should. It's a colleague, Mr. Kieran.
As he hung by his nose from above. Oh!
Don't you?
On the flying trapeze.
Don't you remember that, Mr. Durante? Why, yes. That's
another question I had on the tip of my tongue.
That was the wrong place to have it. That gives us 2 out of 3. And as long as Mr. Durante is at the piano, we have a question here about performers who use pianos as follows. Who used to sit on the piano, a performer who sat on a piano in the course
Wait
of...
Wait a minute. Right away, they got their hands up here.
Do you yield to the gentleman? Do you yield to that gentleman? Mr. Adams.
Helen Morgan.
Helen Morgan. What were you going to say, Mr. Durante?
I was going to say Helen Morgan, and I know the song that she sang. And that she, that was... Acquainted with her. Is that the right word?
Yes.
Well, it all depends.
That's one of the words. After a while, perhaps you can play us the song. Who, gentlemen, that's quite right, of course, Mr. Adams, who used to play the piano standing up, or I think still does? Standing up. Adams is a piano player. Mr. Adams.
Chico Marx.
Did he, Mr. Grady?
Yes, he did.
No, Rocco.
Rocco, yes. Is that right, Dean?
Maurice Rocco.
And how about who used to break up pianos? Who used to break up pianos while playing? Mr. Taylor.
James Durante.
James Durante, yes. Mr. Durante, do you still break up pianos in any of your acts? Or are they too expensive these days?
Well, just a little. You know, Mr. Steinway came up to the Copacabana one night. First time he'd been in a club for about 20 years, he said. And he saw me break up a piano, and he said to me, jumped up, and he said, God bless you.
What would a person mean if he used each of these slang expressions? A horse on me. What would that mean, a horse on me? Adams, you're very alert this evening. Mr. Adams.
That might be dice shaking, and one guy would lose the first shake.
A horse on me?
That's right.
I've never heard it used that way.
Well, you ain't been around.
That's very possible. Is it ever used in any other way?
Mr. Man is getting quite familiar.
I have it down here, Frank.
A practical joke, isn't it?
Practical joke. Somebody playing a joke on one. You say, a horse on me. I don't know. Your explanation may be quite proper.
That's right. When it's 2 out of 3. And then it's a horse apiece, and...
You and sound as if you knew your way around.
I know my way around the dice shaking.
Dice circuit? Dumb like a fox would mean what? Dumb like a fox. Mr. Kieran.
Smart.
Very smart, yes. And getting squirrely would mean what? Getting squirrely?
I know. I want to give you Whitlet. Whitlet, come stand around the air. I'll start talking.
You can't wait. Getting squirrely. Mr. Adams?
Nutty.
Yes, going nuts. By the way, do you know who is responsible for this remarkable expression?
Durante.
Durante, yes.
That was just a guess.
Well, we're building you up, Mr. Durante. I didn't know that you had invented that phrase.
It's a beautiful phrase. A little modest.
Did you have some help? Perhaps someone gave one word and you invented the other?
Bennett Cerf helped him out.
Now, the next question, which comes from Dr. George W. Ainley of Beverly Hills, California, is a question which will test your musicianship. We have with us this evening Mr. Adams, Mr. Kieran, and Mr. Durante, all of whom sing very well, and we have with us one of the most distinguished of our music critics, Mr. Taylor, who will be an excellent judge. Each of the following is the verse. Mr. Kahn is going to play the verse of a famous song and show that you recognize the song by either singing or playing the chorus. Is that clear? Mr. Kahn, let's have the first. Mr. Durante.
You made me what I am today. I hope you're satisfied. You dragged and dragged me down until my soul within me died.
That's beautiful, Mr. Durante.
What a note.
It really is beautiful.
I bet you my friends are not listening in, and when I tell them I answered that question, they won't believe it.
On the contrary. You've made many friends this evening without affecting rendition. Now see if you can do as well with a second one. Mr. Kahn? Does that come back to any of you? Mr. Durante, does that come back to you from the verse that's been played? The reason I ask is that you introduced the song, as far as I know.
Play that again.
Mr. Kahn, do you want to give him the first... Mr. Durante, does it come back to you now? Play a bit of the chorus, Mr. Kahn, just see whether Mr. Durante can get... Yes. There he goes. Go ahead, Mr. Durante.
Liza... Liza, name the day. That was in Showgirl.
Why, sure, you do remember it now.
I introduced the song in Boston.
Wasn't it? It must have been a rather quick introduction. You seem to have forgotten it.
Well, the first night and every day after, and every night after that, I read the voice off a piece of paper. I could never learn it.
Let's see if you can do better with the third and last. Mr. Kahn? Put your hand up as soon as you recognize it. I'm afraid that gets it. Mr. Durante? Well, it's... I wish we had time for Mr. Durante to recollect that one, though he didn't introduce it. It's called Let Me Call You Sweetheart, and of course you all knew it. But just didn't have time to win on that one. That sends $100 in bonds to Mr. Dr. Ainley and a set of the Britannica. Thank you, Mr. Durante. Thank you, Mr. Taylor, for coming this evening.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.